beautiful people. Welcome to it. A Monday edition of the program. A little snow. Hopefully the end of it here in Colorado. But man, what a sports weekend it was. And we got a ton to break down. We also got Brandon Stokely back. Stoke, how you doing today? Good to see you.
Hey. Doing great, man. Great to be back. Missed you. Missed the show.
You were missed.
And I'm sure a lot of people, is that what they said on the text line?
Yeah, I bet. Some of them.
Right. Probably 1% said that. 99% were happy that I was going. That's okay, but I'm back. I'm ready to rock and roll, man. So much been going on. I can't wait to get the... get the vibe from you, get the stories from you of what was going on last week when I was gone. But I had a great trip when I leave this place, we had 2 feet of snow. Remember, like we were staying across at the hotel and I'm plowing 2 feet of snow off of my driveway and I'm trying to rush out of town for spring break to go see my oldest. I come back. And it's a blizzard, Josh. Come on. I'm done with it.
I'm done with it as well. Be safe today. It was a little bit of a rough drive, but it's hopefully this is it, right? This is the end. You left snow, you went to some beautiful weather, and you came back, and you have to deal with snow again. So it is nice to have you back. I will say the really nice text about you, coincidence or not, they were all from New Orleans area codes.
Yeah.
But, you know. I didn't want to share that information then. I wanted to wait till today to give it to you.
I still got a few people that love me down south, so that's all good, man. March Madness, rocking and rolling.
Let's go, man. Right? Let's just jump into it with, first, brackets. Obviously, I want to say this now because I may never have this opportunity again. Sitting in second place right now on the Denver Sportscom Bracket Challenge.
Second place over everyone or just in...
Just on the on-air folks.
Oh, on-air folks. Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty good.
It's not bad, right?
No, I think that's really good.
You're not too far behind.
Am I?
Not too far behind at all. So feeling good right now that the bracket is not completely busted.
Did we have a wager on that?
I don't know if you and I did on our brackets.
Well, good. Since you're in second place and I'm behind you, I didn't remember if we did that or not.
I pressured Matt Smith into doing something on your behalf.
Okay, good. So. All right, Matt can take that L there.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Matt's
looking
like he's going to take that L. But it was a great weekend of college hoops. There was a ton of upsets, some great games. I mean, overtime game, another overtime game, some more overtime games. We're going to get into all of it and what the Sweet 16 looks like. How about the Buffs, though? Start with the fellas on Friday night. Florida, couple seconds left. Inbound, KJ Simpson. Baseline inside the three-point line. Knocks down a jumper. That thing bounced on the rim. It gave me some Kawhi Leonard vibes from the Eastern Conference playoffs. Remember that thing bouncing around? And they got a huge win in fact, Stoke. That was their 26th of the season, which set a record. And then, unfortunately, on Sunday, they were no longer winning. Ran into Marquette and played absolutely no defense in the first half, made their run, but it was too little too late, Stoke.
Yeah, that was a bummer the way that it ended yesterday. Obviously, great win against Florida. Now, they lost one of their key guys there. Florida did to like a broken leg.
Yeah, they're big.
But they took care of business there, so that's nice. It's nice to get to the tournament. You win the play-in game, which was great, so you're actually really in it. And then you win your first round game, which against Florida, which is a good basketball team. That was awesome. And then now you got a chance to advance to the Sweet 16 against a really good Marquette team. And, man, you had it. You had it. You fought and clawed all the way back. And there you are. A little over a minute left to go in the game. Wide open three-pointer.
Oh.
Wide open. And just couldn't knock it down, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Little guy goes around and starts running around looking like Russell Wilson in the pocket and just throws up that little floater. And so it goes from a one-point game to a three-point game with 40-something seconds left or whatever it was. But you had a great look. That's all you could ask for. Being down 11 at half, you clawed back, got it to within one, and 1 minute to go in the game, wide open three, and it just didn't go in. But I think overall, when I look at CU, bravo, man. Hey, way to fight and claw. You got in the tournament and I think overall successful season there because it was looking for a while that it could be a disaster. Some people were saying, should Tad Boyle be back, et cetera, et cetera. And they got back on the right track and they won the play-in game, won one game in the tournament. Would you like to see in Sweet 16? Of course.
Sure.
But overall, for me, hey, two thumbs up, way to battle, and just so close to taking that next step.
It was. Those threes that you're mentioning, I mean, they missed wide open looks in the first half and then they weren't playing defense. That's what led to the 11 point lead. And in fact, the Marquette Golden Eagles, Stoke, they had what the broadcast say? Was it 14 double-digit halftime leads at the in the regular season and never lost one of those games? So that's how good they are. But man, those shots, those tough shots. Cody Williams having a couple open looks. O'Brien getting a couple of open looks. Even De Silva missing a few of those threes. It felt like they missed four threes down the stretch late. And can somebody, Stoke, maybe anybody, take Tyler Kolek's left hand away from him? That dude was doing whatever he wanted, and he looked like he belonged in my rec league, but was dominating in a tournament game yesterday.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He is, man.
You know, I think he was injured for a little bit and came back. Just a really, really good basketball player. So you take your hat off to him, but at the same time, disappointed because you were right there with a chance to win it, and it was Cody Williams with a minute 17 left with that wide open three pointer that just didn't go down, and then Kolek. Is that how you say it? Kolek?
Tyler Kolek, yeah.
Kolek. Kolek made that little, where you just kept going around and around, like just like a little water bug, you know, just like, and just throws up that little floater. Yeah. But he's a really good player, you know, so he's tough to deal with. Tough way to end it for CU. But I think when you look at the whole season, you say it was successful.
I agree with you. I agree with you that it was a success. They were one of the hottest teams down the stretch and got themselves into that play-in and then took care of some business. So good year for Tad. They set a record. We're going to talk later on in the show what it means moving forward, where Cody Williams ends up because he's supposed to be a lottery pick. There is a fun tie. Drew actually told me this morning about Tyler Kolek. In the latest NBA mock draft, because those are all available now, Tyler Kolek actually ends up in Denver as a backup point guard. So fun little tie that, all right, you beat the Buffs, but maybe you come help the Nuggets and we water under the bridge kind of thing.
That's right. Oh, that's cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Little lefty guard that can dominate in the paint at like 5'11".
Right. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I mean, that's, you see a lot of those guys playing in the NBA.
That's right.
That's awesome. First round pick. Yeah. Okay.
If he actually gets selected by the Denver Nuggets at 5'11", left-handed, and can only shoot.
Is he only 5'11", really?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what it looks.
Okay. Yeah, it does. He's probably 6'3".
I would probably cry because, like, you know, that's, I'm left-handed.
He looks like Gillespie.
I'm 5'11".
He looks like Gillespie.
He does.
You look like you're 5'8".
Okay, he is listed at 6'3".
He is. Oh,
you
wow.
Nailed it, dude.
Those basketball players, they look a lot shorter than what they are because they're going up against 7-footers.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I guess I'm not Tyler Kolek.
No.
The analogy
not even close.
Try to make.
Everything stopped with the height.
Well, and the
skills and every et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
He's a star player.
Right.
He's in college. Let's start there.
Yeah. You're hanging out with me.
Yeah.
He's going to the Sweet 16.
Right.
There
right.
we go.
It is a little different, I guess. All right, there's still tons to unpack. Buffs fans, how are you feeling? Is it a successful season? Let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Big shout out to the Lady Buffaloes because they didn't lose, and they're
That's
on
right.
to the round of Sweet
Let's
16
go. Make
again.
Another run this year.
And tonight could be a big one because if Iowa wins, they get Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes again in the round of 16. So could
she
be
don't
fun.
Want that smoke.
No, she don't. She doesn't. So that's happening later in the week, but we'll find out if it is Iowa and Caitlin Clark coming up tonight. All right. Nuggets, Avs, both getting wins over the weekend. Huge one for the Avalanche. We're going to get to that, but it looks like it's finally coming, Stoke. It's happening right now in real time. In less than 5 minutes ago, Damani Leach has talked about new uniforms.
Oh,
people have always cared about.
I thought
you
were talking
uniforms.
About trade or something.
No.
We moved up. We got the number 4th pick, we're talking about uniforms.
New uniforms.
We're talking about uniforms.
New uniforms. We'll we'll get to that stuff eventually. But some Nuggets Avs conversation coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stoken and Josh.
The bracket doing? How you feeling as Buffs fans? Let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line. It's 303-713-1043. You can always join us there. Watch the show over on Twitch. That one's twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. And if your bracket is busted and you're already out of our 5K challenge, fear not, my friends. We have a second chance for you. Sport Quips presented the Denver Sports second chance bracket. You got to go to denversports.com/hoops, or it's that banner at the top of the page. It's for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every single concert at the PRCA Rodeo event at the daddy of them all in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. It's that little banner at the top if you want to just go to denversports.com. Entry ends before the first game on Thursday. That's when the Sweet 16 will kick off. So shout out to Sport Quips giving you a second chance at $1,000 and some concert tickets to the granddaddy of them all up there in Cheyenne. denversports.com/hoops, or just hit that banner once you get to denversports.com. All right, Stoke, I want to get to jerseys. I feel like Broncos jerseys are such a big deal. You and I aren't necessarily big jersey guys, but I feel like this is big news for Broncos country coming out of the meetings today. I do. I don't know why.
I think it's no news. I never paid attention to my jerseys when I played. Not at all. Like, Kisner just came in here. He's like, I was screaming, you know, like I was at a Taylor Swift concert when they came out with the new orange uniforms or something in 2012.
It was,
like,
yeah.
Right? I came back in 2012, and I have no clue what he's talking about. None. Zero.
I was screaming like I was at a Keith Urban concert, not Taylor Swift.
Oh, my bad. I misunderstood you on that one. That's my bad. So what? They came out with new orange then, you said?
You guys went from the blue, the navy blues, to the orange. And I was God, like, this is so cool. Now I want to go back to navy blues, though.
So now you hate what they changed, and you want back to what it was.
Well, when you got so much bad juju, it's like, switch it up.
Oh, that's okay. You know what? I might actually get on board with that. Of like, that's kind of that superstitious. You know, maybe you're not superstitious. You're a little stitious, and you just want to get rid of the, as he said, the bad juju that came with those bad uniforms. I might be on board now, Kevin. You might have turned me around.
Yeah, I'm not going down that road. I just don't pay attention. I mean, that has nothing to do with how we play on the football field. Now, like, I think you can relate that uniform to bad football, right? If it's been a while. Hopefully we can get that changed, though. I just don't pay a lot of attention to them. Okay. I like those white ones with the orange, you know, that they had this year.
The snow cap.
I thought that was awesome. Yeah. That stood out. So it's like, okay, that's cool, but I'm not really there to, like, critique a uniform. Just don't bring back those prison uniforms you had us in 2012. No, that was 2009.
The brown socs?
Yeah.
The striped socks?
Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah. Like, brown and yellow, like, I mean, what are we doing here? If it's not that, I'm cool with it. I'm sure they're going to do a great job. It's going to look good. Everything they seem like they're doing here in the past year since they've took over as the ownership group and Damani Leach seems like it's been, like, you know, first class. And it all looks really good.
You don't subscribe to look good, play good, get paid? Because I like that.
That's a lot. No, see, that's not the same. Look good, feel good, play good. That's it.
Well, play good, get paid.
Yeah, I don't. I never heard that.
That's like too long.
No, he must have added that into it or something. I never heard. Like, that's like a. Now you're going to a paragraph.
So look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah. And then get paid good.
Play good, get paid.
See, now, that doesn't make sense. Feel good, play good, get paid good. Now, that's it right there. I just did
it.
I just did it. All that's right. Me. I just took it over, put my twist on it, and it sounds much better.
Yeah.
I really didn't care when I played all that much. You know, I had so many other thoughts that I was worried about.
Yeah.
And I didn't care about, like, what my socks looked like or if my pad. Like, I wanted to feel good. I wanted my pants to, like, you know, not have all kind of pads in them and be restrictive. That's it. I just wanted to try to be as fast as possible. But, like, as far as looks, no, that wasn't at the top of my list on Sundays.
I wonder if how many conversations Damani Leach and Sean Payton had trying to campaign for changing to, from, you know, the blue and orange that the Broncos are to, like, a black and gold sort of look, you know, with I don't know what that Saints logo is. What is that thing that they have?
Fleur-de-lis.
What?
A fleur-de-lis.
A fleur-de-lis?
Fleur-de-lis.
What is that?
That's the damn thing that's on the fleur-de-lis? Oh, what do you mean? What is that? That's what that emblem is. I don't know.
But does that stand for something?
I'm sure it does,
like,
Josh.
A protection stone or something?
Fleur-de-lis. Okay. It's French. I don't know what it means. Maybe Kisner can look it up for us.
Yeah. Spell fleur-de-lis.
They didn't tell me that when I took French in 6th and 7th grade.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us what it meant.
Well, yeah, that's, I'm sure, what he's campaigning for. Let's add a little fleur-de-lis and some black and gold and see what we look like out there. All right, tell us if you care. Do you care or do you not care? RamosLaw.com text line. Jerseys. Looks like they're changing for the Denver Broncos. All right. We'll catch up with your texts in a moment. Let's talk about the Avs.
I think the Avs
was a bigger win than what the Nuggets did over the weekend. We'll get to the Nuggets, but they were without Joker and they were without Jamal. And then you had a little afternoon delight, a noon puck drop, and it was on TNT, available for us to consume as the masses. And it turned into a great, great win. Another comeback win for the Colorado Avalanche. Nathan MacKinnon and Jonathan Drouin just absolutely took over in the third and final frame. It was weird, Stoke. When they're down 4-0 late in the second period, I'm like, who the hell is this team? Where's the team that we've fallen back in love with after the trade deadline and getting Val Nichushkin back on the ice? Well, it just took a Sean Walker goal and a Jakob Trinen goal.
Who?
Jakob Trinen goal in the late second period to turn it on, and then they never looked back and were the best team on the ice. Only for about 23 minutes of the full 60, but it happened to be the latter 60 or the latter 23 and the most important. That was a huge win, Stoke.
Yeah, this is what they do. You know, it seems like this is kind of their recipe here is they go out there, they fall behind, and they create and not all the time, but they do this regularly. They're never out of it is kind of where I'm getting at here. And even if they're down 3-0, 2-0, 4-0, it doesn't matter. And this was a big boy comeback, though. 4-0 deficit? That's tough to do. Like, 4 minutes left to go in the second. Right? When they got their first goal, and obviously scoring two goals there in the second, now you go into the locker room with what? Momentum? You're feeling good? Like, all right, guys, we're only down two here. Let's go get this thing. And Pittsburgh now is playing defensive, and they're just trying to hold on for dear life. So those two goals that they got there right at the end of the second were big time and gave them all the momentum. Mm-hmm. And but you don't want to dig yourself these types of holes. But when you got the greatness of Nathan MacKinnon, Rantanen, McCarr, et cetera, when you got those types of dudes, you know, it's like, all right, it's almost like when you got Manning as your quarterback. You're like, all right, we're never out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's the Avs, man. And they're fun to watch. I just wish they wouldn't dig themselves these holes sometimes. But, hey, it's sports. Sometimes you're off a little bit. How do you finish the game off? And what a great goal in overtime there. Yeah. That was such a cool play. Mm-hmm. A little bit like a give and go and go around, boom, boom, to the net to finish it off. It was a really cool thing, a goal and a great way to finish that game off.
Yes, it was. Drew, I didn't know this either. So that was the Pittsburgh goalie after the collision. And it's not my head, so I can say this. It didn't look brutal. Yeah. So is that a buzz in from up top of like, hey, you need to get him out and he has to be evaluated for a concussion?
That's what it appeared, yeah. Like the NHL, kind of like the NFL, has a spotter, you know, up in the press box and whatnot that's kind of keeping an eye on things in case there's like a head injury or something like that. But, yeah, I was with you. I didn't think it was all that like bad of a hit, like head contact. It didn't look all that bad. I don't know if maybe he was wobbly or something like that after the fact, but they pulled him out. Tristan Jarry went in, and then a few minutes later, Nedeljkovic came back in the game. So kind of a weird sequence.
Yeah, I just didn't know that the NHL had that. Yeah. The Sparter, as you put it. Yeah. So obviously good for the game, and I can say it didn't look bad because it wasn't my head that was hitting the ice. So hopefully everything's all right there. But the Avalanche, huge comeback win. They're just never out of a game. The way we felt about with the Nuggets, Stoke, of who's going to beat this team four times in 14 days in a series. I'm starting to feel that same way with the Colorado Avalanche. And it doesn't matter if the stupid Seattle team scores the first goal every game. They're just not out of it.
Yeah. I was 2.5-3 weeks ago to where I am now is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a great job. They made some moves at the trade deadline. They're paying off. And they look like a different team than they did coming out of the All-Star break. So hopefully they keep it rolling.
No Joker, no Jamal. It was no problem for the backups and some of the starters that remained in Portland on Saturday night. We'll tell you who stepped up in a big way in the absence of the stars in Portland. We'll do it next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Stoke, the Nuggets are in action tonight. They got Memphis, banged up, bad Grizzly team right now. But let's start with Saturday night in Portland, where they were taking on the Trailblazers, just a quick one-off road game. But they did so without Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Stoke, I know you were out on vacation enjoying some downtime, but we had the conversation Friday if Jamal should go at all. Why even take the trip to Portland? It is that quick one-off. Give him some downtime because he had a couple of weird injuries in the game before. Tweaked that ankle late in the game. Up double digits under a minute late in the game. It was strange.
One of those. Yeah, and we've been screaming about that. Not to interrupt you, but, I mean, like, we've been screaming, like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a certain point, you're just like, we're good. Get him out of the game. But it's nervous Mike.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it was. They're making a little run, and you feel like you're going to let one go, and he had Jamal in that game. So it wasn't crazy. It was just a little tweak of the ankle, but enough to keep him and Joker out. And it was easy work. The Trailblazers are bad. You know what the Trailblazers did on Saturday night that had only been done for the second time in NBA history?
What?
They started an all-rookie lineup.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
All five starters in Portland on Saturday night were rookies, and it was only the second time in NBA history that that had been done. So if there's a game to keep some guys back, Malone nailed it with the Portland game.
Yeah, but that ended up being a little bit of a ball game there, you know, in the fourth, watching that thing. It's like, all right, we got this game. And then they started playing some ball there, and they took a little bit of a lead, and then just like that, Aaron Gordon just, like, took over the basketball game. He was awesome, just on both ends of the court. I mean, just dominant. So that was great to see them get that win, because I'm still looking at this thing as, like, I want that number one seed. We got good news last night with OKC losing, getting whipped by Milwaukee, I believe. So I'm like, let's get that number one seed. That's where I'm at. So that was a good win for them without Jokic, without Murray. Let Murray rest. I was gone. You know, I got back Saturday, got the chance to watch most of this game here. What's up with Jokic? Because that's where my mind went. I'm like, oh, okay, well, he's on the injury report. Oh, he'll play. He always plays. Okay, it's like you said, it's a one-off going to Portland. I'm like, are we good here? We good? We're just a finishing stretch. This is down the stretch now. You know, MVP all in.
Oh, that's
you know
right. I mean? Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And so I'm like, and SGA, Gilchrist Alexander, he didn't play well last night. Didn't have a good game at all. So I just need this guy to get on the court. That nothing serious here. Any update from you?
I don't believe that anything is serious. I know he's got the lingering wrist, right elbow, forearm type of thing that he's had some ice on lately. The back's always flaring up from time to time. I don't think it's serious at all. I don't know how you'd feel if they're both not in the lineup tonight as well, because, again, it's one of those kind of, watch me say this and then it backfire in my face, but a game you should be able to get without a Joker and Jamal on the floor. So I don't think it's serious. I think it's precautionary, and I think it's Malone saying, if my backups can't beat these squads, then we have a bigger problem than maybe thought.
I don't like that thought process. Why? By you, Josh, at all. I leave you for a week, and you come back.
It's not about Portland and Memphis.
I know, and Michael has told us that, you know, it's about their health. Number one, yeah. And I get it.
Like, what, do you want him to be tired?
Huh?
You want him to be tired?
No, heck no. We don't want him to be tired. We want him to be well-rested. We see them when they're well-rested, and they're tough to deal with. And I don't want him to be injured. So I got it. That's the number one goal here. But just to think that we can roll our backups out there and just, like, cruise through some of these games. I mean, Portland had us. I mean, they had us there late in that game. And Denver did what they had to do, and that was nice to see. But have you seen our backups play? I'm not that confident in them like you. I mean, Michael Porter Jr., all of a sudden, if Jokic and Murray are gone, the guy can't hit. He's looking like me out there shooting three-pointers, right?
Where,
I mean,
where
it's
was
like,
he at?
Right, it's like, oh, my gosh. And he got going in the second half, to his credit, which is nice to see. Memphis, I don't know who's playing for Memphis. Those guys are so injured. I follow, you know, NBA, and I look at these games every single day, and like, you talk about guys that are that team that's injured. Yeah, that's the Memphis Grizzlies, but they got some talented players. They got some talented players over there. Jackson Jr., Williams Jr., a bunch of juniors, Aldama, something like that. Good players. I'm just telling you. So just to think that we're going to roll our backups out there and have an easy win, I think it's a mistake. Hopefully we see Jokic. Hopefully we see Murray. I want to finish this thing off, and I want to finish it off with the number one seed and a stinking MVP trophy.
Okay. Well, I like that approach. But I'm telling you, if it's no Jamal, no Joker tonight, they should still be able to get a win.
I'm picking Memphis.
If there's no Jamal, no Joker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Picking Memphis if that's the case.
Maybe there's our little action for the week.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. What.
Wait a minute. You just said.
Instead of picking them, but I don't know if I want to bet them. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta see.
I'm trying to talk you into it.
All right. I got to see who's playing for them.
Okay.
Because they might have three or four guys out. So
I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr. is a good player. Outside of that, I'm not sure.
Dude, have you seen Luke Kennard shoot the three?
Yeah, huh? I have.
Right, Kisner? Represent.
Represent.
That's right. But he's always hurt.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm just hoping that we get to see Jokic and Jamal back in the lineup. At least one of them. And the one being Jokic.
Yeah.
What we got? I think we got 11 games left in this thing. How many? What's
11,
our record?
11, yeah.
Yeah, we played 71. Mm-hmm. They play 82. That's 11. So that's it, man. 11 games, mm-hmm. folks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like 2 weeks.
It is.
2.5 weeks worth of basketball right there. So it's getting to be that time. Got a couple games against Minnesota mm-hmm. coming up. Yep. No more against OKC. And right now they got a slight lead, I believe, on the number one seed. Is that correct?
I believe they are tied. Let me look at the actual standings after
the loss last night. I think they might be up a half game.
Oh, because OKC lost last night. Yeah,
Yes, they are. You're absolutely right. 50-21 compared to 49-21. But I do believe Oklahoma City has the tiebreaker on mm-hmm. the Nuggets. You're so correct. If they do end up tying, OKC will be the number one seed there. Minnesota's only one back here, folks. Right? And so they had a nice win yesterday against Golden State Warriors. So that's a team. Three team race for the number one seed and see how this thing shakes out, what it looks like. But I want the number one seed. And we got two games coming up against Minnesota. Obviously, no KCP.
Mm-hmm.
KAT. Yeah. Just Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah, yeah. He'll be out until at least the playoffs mm-hmm. With a knee injury. So, but they're still a very talented team, obviously, there with Minnesota. And one of those games is on a back-to-back with Minnesota. So just kind of projecting, looking forward. Yeah. That's our last back-to-back. We have one more back-to-back. These games like tonight are important. That one in Portland was important. How important is the number one seed? Do you care? Number one, number two, number three?
I do care. I definitely care. I care for home court advantage. OKC's got to, you know, get out of the first couple of rounds to get to the Western Conference Final and be able to host. But I think it's very, very important. I mean, look at what it was a year ago. Boston did what they did in the postseason. So I think it's very, very important. I also think you can beat Memphis without Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, too.
Now you're trying to bait me into this bet. What you're doing. You keep on bringing the dang thing up. I know your hustle game.
Let's see DeAndre Jordan, you know.
He was awesome. Why don't we see, dude, I'm watching this game. I'm like, this guy still got it.
Yeah.
I get it. You don't want to play him, 80 minutes a night. I know. I understand that, but dang.
He's better than Zeke Nnaji. He's a better option than Zeke Nnaji by a mile.
Why don't we see him? Like, he was playing a little bit, and then all of a sudden Nnaji comes back, and now all we've been seeing is Zeke Nnaji, Zeke Nnaji, Zeke Nnaji. And then, he didn't – where is Zeke Nnaji?
You guess what he's dealing with. Another injury.
Oh, I was just looking. I forgot about him. We need DeAndre Jordan. He's much better option than Zeke Nnaji. There's no doubt about it. Christian Brown, balled out.
Heck of a game.
What a great game by him. So that was great to see. But you're talking about 11 points, 8 rebounds for DeAndre Jordan in 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
The guy still got it.
More
DJ. But then we look up there and we see Zeke Nnaji in the game. I don't understand it.
Michael Malone keeps giving him opportunities to take the test after he's failed the test. And then he'll fail the test and get another chance at the test and then fail that test and get another chance at the – stop giving him chances. Put DeAndre Jordan in the game. DeAndre Jordan should be the big in the rotation of the playoffs, and that's it.
Yeah, I like how you said that. I mean, it's not even debatable.
Right.
You got no stance. You got nothing to stand on if you're on the side of Zeke Nnaji.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, you
at
watch
all.
DeAndre – the energy he brings – and guys still can play. I've been kind of surprised with him. And every time he gets an opportunity, he does well with it. Aaron Gordon, he was the biggest difference maker there with just the way that he was playing on both ends of the court. Just big body and a couple big-time blocks, and then offensively doing his thing. So it was just a good win. It was good to see those guys. You got to see a little Colin Gillespie in there doing some good things. Nice win on the road, shorthanded.
Let's hit a quick timeout when we get back. Let's go to Orlando. Isn't that where the owners' meetings are for the NFL? Sean Payton, George Payton are out there, and Sean was asked the question, how realistic is it for the Broncos to be trading up to go chase their quarterback? Hear his answer next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
The Broncos, they might not be looking to back that thing up when it comes to the draft picks.
Oh, well, let's back it up.
They might be wanting to go the other way. They might be wanting to go forward to chase their quarterback. And you and I have had these conversations. We do have some new news because Sean and George Payton are chatting to media out at the owners' meetings. And Sean Payton was asked about trading up, how realistic it could be.
I think that's realistic. I think it's realistic. I know your report suggested otherwise, but it's realistic.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, no, it did. I would. I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is, like, what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? So it's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic.
So Ian Rappaport, he was kind of giving some back to there about his report.
Let's go.
Ian tried to defend himself, and Sean shut that down very quickly. But there's Sean Payton. He's telling you what we had kind of thought and speculated upon of how are they going to get up into the top five, the top four, if they really have fallen in love with J.J. McCarthy. How are you going to beat the Minnesota Vikings, who acquired a second first-round pick? How are you even going to beat the Raiders, who are sitting behind you but have more draft capital? But there you go, Stoke. That's Sean Payton saying, no, don't write us off just yet. I can't help but think his ace in the hole is Patrick Surtain II, is it not? Well, what other card could he be holding close to the vest that we don't know about?
Well, we've been talking a lot about this, and I've said for, weeks now, they just can't do it. They can't compete, like you just mentioned. They just can't do it. They don't have the assets to be able to move up. It's a, that's fantasy land there.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this Sean Payton. I believe him. I believe what he's telling us. I do. I think they think it's a realistic possibility, if they want to, that they can possibly move up. I don't know. Is Pat Surtain on the table or not? I'm not sure about that. But you look at what it might take, and you're just looking at future first-round picks. You know, all right, hey, 2025, she gone. 2026, she gone. Second rounder, 2025, she gone. You know, maybe I don't know what it might look like, but you're talking about 25 and 26 first-rounders definitely gone. Probably your third rounder this year, a second rounder, like that's what you're looking at right there. And so if you get into a bidding war with the Vikings, can you go toe-to-toe with the Vikings? Maybe not. And that still might be a real possibility because they have two first-round picks this year, and that will be difficult. But I think you do have, like you said, maybe it is Pat Surtain that you have to throw in the mix there. For a team like the Cardinals, I don't think you're getting a three. I think it's 1, 2, 3, stays like it is, and it's quarterback, and the spot would be the Cardinals, and Sean Payton referenced the Cardinals and the general manager there as a place to get to. If you want a McCarthy, that's probably where you're going to have to go to get him. So I believe him, though. I believe what he's saying. I do believe that he thinks if they want to and they love one of these guys, that they can go up there and do it. You?
I do too. But like I said, I think Patrick Surtain is that card, that ace in the hole, if you will, if they are going to jump up and make that big pick, because it's Minnesota. All right, 11 to 12, not a huge difference. It's obviously one pick in front, but it's not going to be something that's completely different. And I keep asking myself over the weekend, Stoker, especially this morning when this came out, what's more valuable to an NFL franchise? That, I believe it was the 23rd overall pick that Minnesota acquired, or Patrick Surtain II? And I would argue that it's Patrick Surtain II.
Yeah, I think so. Now, you got to pay him, sure. But you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to trade all of our damn good players, man. I'd be like, we can't trade all of our draft picks and all of our players just to go get a quarterback. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what the right answer is. Because you need a quarterback.
Yeah.
More than you need a cornerback. But, like, eventually you look at it and say, all right, like, enough's enough. No. We got to build a football team here. And I heard Cecil on in the morning, and Cecil, look, he's crushing it. And this is his time of the year, and he's in Orlando doing his thing. And he's talking about, hey, you need a quarterback. You got to have a quarterback. You got to get a quarterback. All that other stuff doesn't matter. And no one remembers what they gave up for Josh Allen or Mahomes. I got it. I get it. But at the same time, man, like the cover's already bare, really bare here. And if you're giving up, two first rounders, in a first round of 25, a first round of 26 plus Sertan? I mean, is that what we're going to have to do to move up to four? To get a, you can't be wrong. Oh, we'll be in this spot for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a decade mistake.
Oh, you think a decade?
That's a decade mistake.
See, I don't know.
Maybe if, two decade mistake.
I don't know if I could go.
Maybe until I die mistake. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I say it because all of a sudden, you know, you've lost a lot of draft picks and a lot of talent. You whiffed on a quarterback who you're going to spend probably 2 to 3 years to just pray that he, even if it doesn't look good, mm-hmm. you're going to continue to down that road because you invested so much in him. Then Sean Payton's going to get fired. You have to hire a new coach, new general manager, and start with hardly nothing again. And, oh, by the way, we got to still find a quarterback. And, like, how hard is that, folks?
It's the hardest thing in the world.
Exactly. So, yeah, I would say if it doesn't work out, it's a decade unless you get lucky.
All right. I don't know if I could agree with you on the length of it. I get, though, the top, you know, moving up to give all of that stuff, you are certainly setting yourself back. And then I keep having this conversation because I already talked myself into JJ. Now I'm like, how much better is JJ than Bo Nix?
Right.
And you don't have to do anything to get Bo Nix. In fact, you could trade back and still get Bo Nix.
I don't know about that. I don't think so.
Oh, you think he's climbing the way JJ did a couple weeks ago?
Well, if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't think you can move back to get Bo anymore. I just don't. Now, I don't know. You know, I don't know what it looks like there, but, you know, with the Vikings and with the Raiders and the Giants, and I just don't think you can move back to, but who, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, man. Is there any chance, too, that it's a smokescreen? That he really does love Bo Nix and he's just saying all this nonsense to get Minnesota to play their card and use up the draft capital that they acquired?
Possibly.
Or get one over on the Giants who maybe want to be involved in this?
Anything is possible here. I tend to believe him, though, when he says that. I do. But, you know, they had a pro day with him. I mean, they had a workout with him mm-hmm. the day after his pro day. And so I know it was about a 5-hour workout with JJ.
You're talking about JJ?
Yeah, with JJ McCarthy. And
yeah, let's hear Sean Payton talk about
that. Did. Okay,
he wasn't, remember, people were upset, like, why is it Sean Payton at JJ's pro day? Well, they had something in the works for the next day.
For some of these guys, we'll have an individual day separate. You know, I wasn't at JJ's pro day, but we had a private the next day where we sent him a bunch of information, spent 4 or 5 hours with him, just, and made him throw all over again. You know, and I think it's all part of the process, and I think it can help lead to at least a more efficient and effective decision.
All right, so yeah. They wanted to see him one-on-one, get a little bit of the more private setting on it. I know Sean also talked earlier this morning and mentioned, like, you get to kind of see how he interacts with other guys that he's working with and throwing to, and, you know, you can see some leadership qualities
sure.
as to how he's communicating with those guys.
Yeah, it's obviously pro days are what? Scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're scripted. And it's like, whatever. It's like, I don't know, it's like a preseason game. It's like, who cares, you know? But if you can actually draw up a plan for a quarterback, like Sean was talking about, you give them that plan and then see how they react to it. See how they handle that. See how they handle the curveball. It's not just the fastball, not just that, you know, 80-mile-an-hour right down the plate. Now you got a little curveball coming at you. How do you handle that? How do you process the information and then go out the next day and perform in those situations when they're not ideal for you, right? I mean, that's football.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy. And so you want to put them in some adverse situations, see how they handle those things, especially if you're thinking about taking the guy at 4, 8, 10, 12, whatever the case may be. You want to do your due diligence on those guys, and it seems like they're doing it with J.J. McCarthy. And I don't think they're doing it for a smokescreen. I don't think they're doing it for Chuck's – for giggles.
Okay.
For giggles.
Yeah.
I don't.
nice job. Though.
Yeah. So I was like, what's that say? I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I can't say that on the radio. But I don't think they're doing it for that. I mean, I think they're doing their homework on these guys so they can get it right.
Okay. Broncos country, how are you feeling after you heard Sean Payton chat a bit this morning? George is chatting with some media, which we'll get to a little bit later on in the show or tomorrow with some of that stuff as well. But let's get back to the tournament, the round of 16. It's sweet and it's set, Stoke. Have we disrespected What has always been a powerhouse but seems to flame out? I want to chat about that, where the Buffaloes are and what the future could look like for Tad now that their season is over. We'll hit you with that conversation next.